Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, a former Dodger retires, a kind of member of the Dodgers family is coming home, and I will talk about one of the human faces of the MLB lockout. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. This is a lot of fun talking with you guys every day, and I'm looking forward to this episode. As I mentioned at the top, we have a retirement to talk about. Adrian Gonzalez has retired from baseball. And if you're like me, your response might have been, wait, I thought he already retired. And I think we can be forgiven for thinking that. He hasn't played in the big leagues since 2018 when he played, I think, 54 games with the Mets. And he played last year in the Mexican League, and he announced like 8 months ago that he would be retiring at the end of the Mexican League season. And so I kind of assumed he had retired, but he hadn't. So now it's official. Adrian Gonzalez has retired. And so I just want to talk a little bit about Adrian Gonzalez because he's one of those guys who was kind of easy to overlook or underappreciate or something, because he, from the time he became a regular in 2006 with the Padres, he never played fewer than 156 games in a season until 2017. Every single year, it was between 156 and all 162. He was just in the lineup every day, and he was really, really good. And then 2017 was kind of the beginning of the end of his career. That year, you know, he started off pretty poorly, and in late April, Jock Peterson got hurt, and Cody Bellinger got called up to replace him in the outfield. And then Jock was only out for, you know, the 10 days or so. And Bellinger played so well during that time that Jock was out. I don't know for sure, but it seemed like maybe somebody with the Dodgers suggested Adrian Gonzalez, hey, look, you've got this lingering back issue. Let's put you on the injured list for a little while, get you a little bit of rest. So when Jock came back, Adrian went on the IL to let Bellinger play first base for a little while, and eventually they found time. Adrian was only out for a couple weeks at that point, but that was basically the beginning of the end of his career with the Dodgers, that Cody Bellinger making the splash he did. So Adrian returned a couple weeks later and came back as the Dodgers' primary first baseman. The Dodgers moved Bellinger around in the outfield, and he played some first base. But then Adrian got injured again in June, and he missed more than 2 months that time. And then after he returned in mid-August, he batted .212 with a .637 OPS for the rest of the season. And they actually shut him down with a few games left in the season, not with any specific injury, just shut him down and left him off the postseason rosters. And that was the end of his Dodgers career. The Dodgers traded him after that 2017 season to the Braves in the trade that brought Matt Kemp back to the Dodgers. Adrian had a no-trade clause. He was a 10-5 guy, 10 years in the league and 5 years with the same team. So he had full no-trade rights, but he waived his no-trade clause on the condition that the Braves would release him. And so basically the Braves wanted to get out from under Matt Kemp's contract, basically. And so they traded him. They took Gonzalez and just released him. And like I said, Gonzalez signed with the Mets and played a little bit in 2018, but it didn't work out. And then he didn't play in 2019 or 2020, and played 2021 in the Mexican League, and that was it. But it's like I said earlier, it's easy to forget how good Adrian Gonzalez was. with the Dodgers. He got MVP votes in each of his first three seasons with the team. He was a mentor to Yasiel Puig, which is a big deal. You know, Gonzalez's first full season with the Dodgers was also Puig's rookie year, and Yasiel Puig was a guy who needed a lot of mentoring, and Adrian Gonzalez and Juan Uribe kind of filled that role. The Spanish speakers who could communicate with him a little bit better had that veteran leadership, and they both, even though Yasiel Puig's time with the Dodgers was still mercurial, is maybe the word we would use, I think it could have been a lot worse if it hadn't been for the leadership and the mentorship that Gonzalez and Uribe provided. Adrian's best years came with the Padres. It's like he was a legitimate, he's not a Hall of Famer. His career didn't reach that Hall of Fame level, but he was a legitimate superstar during his time in San Diego and then in Boston. And he was a legitimate star for about a decade. Even at, once he came to the Dodgers, he was still a star. Dan Shaughnessy, who writes for one of those Boston papers, he doesn't like Adrian Gonzalez, so that's a check in Adrian's favor, if you ask me, because nobody likes Dan Shaughnessy. One interesting, unique thing about Adrian Gonzalez, he homered in his first at-bat with the Dodgers against the Marlins on August 25th, 2012, and in his last at-bat with the Dodgers against the Padres on September 26th, 2017. Not many people have done that. And overall, just a great Dodger. And, you know, there was some bitterness or some consternation in 2017 that he wasn't with the team in the postseason. He was on vacation in Europe, and some people saw that as selfishness. Adrian said that he didn't want to be a distraction to the team. Who knows what to believe, but for what Adrian Gonzalez did on the field, he was a very, very valuable Dodger, a likable Dodger, and a guy who, he was my dad's favorite Dodger for a long time. My son has an Adrian Gonzalez jersey. We're big Adrian Gonzalez fans. And so, and he's got four Dodgers bobbleheads. I've got them on the shelf behind me. If you're watching on YouTube, one of my favorites is the pair of bobbleheads of him and Justin Turner that you put them next to each other and they do the selfie pose. I don't know if you can see that on the shelf behind me. But that's one of my favorite bobblehead sets the Dodgers have done is those two. A lot of fun, you know. Today, Sunday, is the anniversary of when the Dodgers signed Justin Turner back in 2014. And JT and Adrian were a great combination in the lineup, great friends. And they kind of are linked in Dodger history in a lot of ways because they did play together for so long. You know, obviously, JT has continued playing for the Dodgers and playing very well even after Adrian was gone. But they were a pretty awesome duo in the middle of that Dodgers lineup for a few years. So congratulations, Adrian Gonzalez, on a great career. He seems happy with his decision and ready to move on with the next portion of his life to the extent that he hasn't already. You know, he, like I said, he hasn't been playing much. So happy for Adrian Gonzalez. Happy to have this opportunity to look back a little bit at his Dodgers career. Obviously, we could do several episodes just about Adrian Gonzalez highlights with the Dodgers. He led the major leagues in RBIs 1 year, led the league in sacrifice flies 2 years in a row, which is always kind of fun. You know, he learned to get the ball in the air. He led the league in grounding into double plays with the Padres, and he switched those from double plays to sac flies with the Dodgers, so we'll take that. All in all, a really, really good career for Adrian Gonzalez, and happy he was a Dodger. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about a different guy who is kind of part of the Dodgers family and is coming home to the Dodgers. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it Locked On Dodgers. Okay, it's February, which means maybe you've thought about giving up on your New Year's resolutions. Well, not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution. I'm going to try to eat right. I am going to try to get rid of some of this extra girth that I have. And Built Bar makes that a lot easier because I really enjoy eating Built Bars. They also have these Built Bar Puffs. I don't know if you've tried them. If you haven't, you should give them a try. They're basically the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat. And like all Built Bars, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. You know, Puffs, they got a lot of different flavors. They have a cinnamony churro flavor. They got coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, a ton of different good flavors. These are going to be your favorite thing. And like all Built Bars, they're low calorie, high protein. You can replace a candy bar or a different gross sugary snack with these Built Bars. Go to the built.com and scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be blown away. They're all high protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. Just so much better for you than a candy bar, and they taste just as good. At Built Bar, they are all about taste. They make it delicious first, and then they figure out how to make it healthy. I don't know how, but they pull it off every time. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. You want to know another company that I love talking about because I have real experience with them in addition to Built Bar? I'm talking about rockauto.com. If you own a car, if you ever have to buy auto parts and you're not buying them at rockauto.com, you are wasting your money. I promise you. You're going to go to rockauto.com. You just pull up your make and model of car. It'll give you the list of all the parts they have available, and you will see, wow, these are a lot less expensive than what I would pay at the auto parts store. And I don't have to go to the auto parts store. It's a win-win. You just sit at your own chair, at your own desk, on your own computer, or even on your phone, if you're one of those fancy young kids who likes to do things on phones, and just order your parts. They'll ship them directly to your door. If you mess up and order the wrong part, it's easy to return them, and you're going to pay less and get the best parts for your car. I don't know what else to tell you. Do it. I've done it. I've saved hundreds and hundreds of dollars using rockauto.com, and you can too. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they will know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Okay, I have returned, and I am going to talk a little bit about a kind of member of the Dodgers family who is coming home. Jose Mota, he was an announcer for the Angels, and he announced a couple days ago that he was leaving the Angels to pursue a different career opportunity, or a new chapter, he said, but he didn't immediately announce his future plans. But we got word this weekend that he's coming to the Dodgers to be part of the Dodgers broadcast team. And we don't really have details on what role he's going to be filling, but it's kind of interesting because he could fill almost any role, because Jose Mota, the reason I say he's kind of a member of the Dodgers family, he is the son of Manny Mota, who is a longtime Dodgers player and coach and legend. Manny Mota is beloved throughout the Dodgers organization. Everybody loves Manny Mota, and Jose Mota is his son, and by all accounts, just as good a person as his dad. But he has worked with the Angels. He was on their Spanish language radio broadcast. He did their English language TV package. So he's done Spanish and English. He's fully bilingual, like really, really good in both languages. And he's done TV and radio. And, you know, it seems like if you could do one, you could do the other. But I think us Dodger fans were a little bit spoiled because Vin Scully was so good at both. But they are two vastly different things. And to be able to do both is really impressive. I used to joke back when, before the Dodgers hired Tim Neverett, and when Charlie Steiner would occasionally do TV games when Joe Davis had to be gone, I used to joke, I like Charlie Steiner a lot more on TV because Charlie's got a pleasant voice and he seems like a nice guy and he knows baseball. He's just not very good at describing what's happening in a game, which as a radio play-by-play guy, that's a big deal because kind of describe what's happening in the game is 100% of that job description. But when he was doing TV play-by-play, where we can watch and we don't necessarily depend on the play-by-play guy to tell us everything that's happening, Charlie was more enjoyable to listen to. But, you know, that's kind of a tangent there. Jose Mota is really good at doing both radio and TV, and he can do it in either language. And there's a few possibilities. You know, the Dodgers on their Spanish language side have openings going on. You know, you've got Jaime Herrin retiring. There's a lot of opportunities there. You've also got on their English language radio side, you know, they've got the team of Charlie Steiner and Rick Monday. Steiner doesn't travel anymore. Both of those guys are getting a little bit old. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see Jose Mota plug into at least some of those games. You know, you've got Tim Neverett too, who does that too on the radio side. So I'm really interested to see where they do slot in Jose Mota. And I assume they're planning on taking advantage of his versatility and let him do a lot of different things. He's done national play-by-play for Fox in the past. So he could be a guy who fills in for Joe Davis on the TV side instead of Neverett when Joe is doing his college football or his Saturday Fox baseball games or whatever it is that Joe has to do during the season that takes him away from us. Jose Amoda could fill in those roles with Oral Hershiser. I don't know Oral's relationship with Moda himself. They're, you know, pretty close to the same age. He's, Moda's a little bit younger than Oral, but not by much. Obviously Oral is very familiar with Jose Moda's dad. So I'm sure they know each other, probably have a decent, rapport together. So, a lot of different possibilities for Jose Moda. And I'm really excited. I enjoy listening to Jose Moda. I don't watch a lot of Angels games, but I've watched some over the years, plenty over the years. And Jose Moda is a very enjoyable broadcaster to listen to. I really enjoy the way he does the game. He's very, very knowledgeable about baseball. Obviously, he was born into a baseball family. He played in the big leagues. His dad played in the big leagues. His brother and cousin both played in the big leagues. You know, it's a baseball family, and he knows his stuff. But you also wouldn't get the impression that he is, he's very accessible despite being into this baseball family. It's not like he's an inside baseball guy who can't relate to those of us who never did play in the big leagues. So he's a really good combination of a lot of skills, throw in the bilingual aspect, which is perfect for LA, you know, coming to the real LA team now. Just a ton of opportunities there. And I am excited about Jose Moda and excited enough that I want to spend a whole segment talking about him on this episode of the podcast. So I'm interested to see over the next few weeks or months or whatever, as we find out a little bit more about what his actual role is going to be with the Dodgers. But hopefully they will put him to really good use because he is a good, good announcer and I'm happy to have him with the Dodgers. So I'm going to come back in a minute and I am going to talk about kind of the human side of this baseball lockout. I'm going to tell a little story about an experience I had this weekend and some thoughts that I had about kind of the humans who are impacted by this lockout. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the playoffs right to the big game next week. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just football. BetOnline has up-to-the-minute info on pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, along with live real-time updates of current games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, last segment. I just want to talk a little bit about an experience that I had this weekend and some thoughts that it led me to be thinking about this weekend about the lockout. You know, there's a kind of a recurring thing you see on social media or whatever, people saying it's millionaires fighting with billionaires. The players against the owners, it's all these rich people arguing over who gets to be more rich. And I understand the sentiment. I do think it's overly simplistic to put it that way. I think like most things that are repeated that often on social media, it has a lot more value in its pithiness than in its truthiness. Because basically, the fact is, yes, every owner is filthy rich. Not every player is rich. And I was thinking about this weekend because on Saturday, I got up early with my boys, went down to the baseball facility where my boys are on teams, and we had some batting practice. And after BP, we headed over to the Maverick, the gas station here, so the boys could grab a Gatorade or whatever they wanted. And I just stayed in the car, and my boys ran inside, and they come out a couple minutes later, and they were both so excited because they had run into Peyton Henry, who is now a Major League Baseball player. Peyton is from the town that we live in. His dad is actually the high school coach. My older son has done some hitting lessons with Peyton. And the thing they thought was so cool was that they were in the gas station inside buying their Gatorade and stuff, and Peyton actually saw them and came up and said hi to them. He's, "Hey, Logan, how you doing?" And, you know, when you're 14 years old and a Major League Baseball player recognizes you and calls you by name and says, "Hey, how you doing?" it's a pretty cool experience. And so even though, you know, they've met Peyton, well, I don't think my younger son had met Peyton before, but Logan has. But it's still, it's cool. You know, when you are a baseball obsessed teenager and a big leaguer says hi to you, it's a cool experience. And when they came out, they were all excited. And then I saw Peyton walking out and he saw me, he waved at me. I rolled down my window and just, hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And I just asked him, you know, since you're in the union now, because now that you're in the big leagues, so you're just kind of in a holding pattern now. And he said, yeah, I'm just hanging out until I find out what I'm supposed to do. I was hoping to be heading to spring training this week, but instead I'm just hanging out and waiting, and it seems like it might be a while. And I got to thinking about people like Peyton Henry. You know, Peyton was drafted in the sixth round in 2016 by the Brewers. Not a super high draft pick, but a solid draft pick. And he worked his way up through the minors and played pretty well at every level. He's a catcher. And this past July, he was traded by the Brewers to the Marlins at the trade deadline. And for Peyton, he was excited because the Brewers were kind of locked down at catcher. And so the Marlins presented a little bit better path to the big leagues for him. And that turned out to be correct because he ended up getting called up in mid-September. Once the AAA season was done, Peyton got called up to the Marlins and made his big league debut on September 17th. That was his first time on a 40-man roster. He hadn't been on the 40-man previously, and so he got called up and added to the 40-man roster and the active 26-man roster both in mid-September, played the rest of the season. Didn't get a ton. He got 16 plate appearances. His first career hit was a double, batted .267, .646 OPS. Nothing to write home about, except if you are a kid who has grown up dreaming of being in the big leagues, guess what? You're going to write home about that. It was a cool experience, and I've gotten to spend a little bit of time near him this off season. Because like I said, his dad is the high school coach. My son's a freshman, and so he played in a freshman league that Peyton and his dad actually ran, and so Peyton was at most of the games and helping working with the boys and stuff. Just a really solid dude. He is a down-to-earth, solid dude. It's a great family. Peyton's grandpa actually just died last week. He was a legend. He's a Hall of Fame high school wrestling coach. His grandpa was. His dad, like I said, is a great baseball coach at the high school. And that Peyton's older brother is battling cancer. So just a lot going on in that family. And Peyton made the big leagues. It's a dream come true for him. And then the Marlins traded for Jacob Stallings this offseason. And so it's like Peyton's career now, or his immediate future, is back in question. Like, am I going to be in the big leagues? Am I going to be back in AAA? You know? And so there's a lot of questions. And like I said, he wasn't on the 40-man roster until he got called up in September. And so he had basically 2.5 weeks on the big league roster, which means he had 2.5 weeks of getting paid. Because before that, he was making AAA money. And so last year, he probably made about $60,000 last year, total, including his time in the big leagues. That's not a lot of money. And now he's almost 25 years old. His immediate future, not like his career is going to be over. Chances are he's going to get to play in the big leagues some more. But we don't know when, don't know if it'll be in 2022 or if it'll be later. He's on the 40-man roster, and so he'll get paid a little bit more when he is in the minors, if he goes back to the minors. But it's still not, you know, when I see people talking about the millionaires against the billionaires, I think about Peyton Henry, who Peyton Henry right now is not a millionaire. And he's the guy who the players union, at least according to their official statement that, we saw a lot of tweets this weekend from the players that had very similar wording. And so they are united on their messaging. But one of the things they say they want is for younger players to get paid more earlier in their career. And that's great. And obviously everybody's talking points sound good. And I'm sure that if the players said we're willing to accept a salary cap in exchange for giving more of that money to the younger players, the league would jump all over it. You know, the union, what they want is the younger players to get paid more in addition to the veterans continue to get paid a bunch, not instead of. And so nothing is as simple as it seems, but when you look at the percentage of league revenue that the players are getting has gone down in the last several years. While profits have gone up, the percentage of that money that players get has gone down. And the players are the product. And it really frustrates me when I see people talking about the millionaires against billionaires argument, because it is so simplistic. And I implore all of our listeners to, before you repeat something that pithy, just take a minute to think, okay, does this get repeated because it's true or because it fits in a tweet? And if it's just being repeated because it fits in a tweet, just do better. Because a lot of guys like Peyton, Max Scherzer is going to be fine no matter what happens. Even if Major League Baseball falls off the edge of the earth, Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout are going to be just fine. Peyton Henry is a guy who, at least on the surface, the union is fighting for right now. And even guys younger than him, guys who haven't made the big leagues yet, they're trying to fight for that. And so I'm not saying that everything the players are doing is right, or that they are totally 100% righteous and the league should just capitulate to all their demands right now. But like I said at the beginning of this segment, every owner is rich. Not every player is rich. And the players provide the product that we love to watch. And so the players deserve some of that money. And I know they get some of the money. But I think it is a noble and worthwhile goal to get the Peyton Henrys of the world a little bit more financial security early in their careers and that sort of thing. So that was just some thoughts I had. Kind of just wanted an opportunity to talk about Peyton Rennie because he's a great dude. I'm rooting for him. I wouldn't mind the Dodgers trading for him. Let him be Will Smith's backup catcher, get some playing time, and just, you know, hang out on a big league roster. But either way, you know, he's a good dude, and there are a lot of people in his situation. Every team has three or four guys like Peyton Henry who aren't rich yet, and they are actually spending this lockout thinking, oh, what does this mean for my future? What will this mean for me? Because I don't have it made yet financially. And that's a hard situation to be in when baseball has been your goal your whole life. And I think it's good for us as fans to have people who do put all their eggs in the baseball basket, because that's how you get Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw. You know, they didn't go to college. They got drafted out of high school, just like Peyton did. And they put all their eggs in that baseball basket, and we reap the benefits of that. And we should be on the side of benefiting those players who do risk it all for our entertainment. So that's all I have to say about that. I want to thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. If you're not listening every day, go ahead and add one or two days a month to your rotation. That would be awesome. As I mentioned before, you can listen wherever you get podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube. And please continue to make us your first listen every day. And for your second listen today, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address, if you want to send us an email, is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail or a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.